You're listening to Vatican Radio. Palestinian leaders have reacted angrily to an Israeli law which would retroactively legalise some 4,000 settler homes built on privately owned Palestinian land in the occupied West Bank. The law, passed on Monday, is backed by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's right-wing coalition, but has raised tensions within the government and drawn international criticism. Israel's Attorney General has said it is unconstitutional and that he will not defend it at the Supreme Court. In Washington, a White House official said US President Donald Trump will withhold comment on the legislation until the relevant court ruling. Last week, the Trump administration said the construction of new settlements or the expansion of existing ones may not be helpful in achieving peace. Archbishop Michael Fitzgerald, former head of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue and former Vatican envoy to the Arab League, currently lives in Jerusalem. He talked to me about the increasingly bleak situation for young Palestinians today.
It's really, I would say, most people are a bit despondent. There doesn't seem to be any solution. There's really no hope. I mean, as Christians, we have to keep up hope, and so there is all that spirit of hope that is there, but that is a supernatural virtue. The natural part of it doesn't seem to be there. And it makes me think of something that an Egyptian diplomat said to me, or was a member of the Foreign Ministry of Egypt. He said, your English language is not really sufficient, you know. You talk about things being bad and then worse, but you really need another comparative worser. He says things always get worser. And that is somehow how it seems. The hope is kind of blocked, I would say.
Is there a fear that this, as you say, loss of hope, is there a fear that that can flare into violence at any moment again?
Well, it does flare into violence, but into single instances of violence, if you like. I mean, I think that is part of, you know, the part of the desperation of young people who don't see what can be done and so then attack some people who are signs of the occupying authority and lose their lives consequently. It's not organized. Personally, I don't think that there will be another war somehow, but I'm not a politician and I'm not a prophet. But I don't see that the countries of the Arab world are ready to go to war against Israel. But the people are losing hope. They're losing hope in their politicians as well. So there may be a new intifada, in fact.
How do you see the new US administration affecting the situation there in the Middle East? Because it does have a big impact, doesn't it? The decisions coming from the White House.
Yes, and at the moment it's very dangerous, I would say. This talk of moving the United States embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem is a highly symbolic move.
This is the new US ambassador to Israel, isn't it?
Has said that he wants to work in Jerusalem, and President Trump has said he wants to move the embassy too. Now, there is a law that exists from Congress, apparently, to transfer the embassy to Jerusalem, and every 6 months the president has to say, no, it's not the time to do it. So if the president doesn't do that, then the transfer is to be made.
So it's not just an empty threat, it is a possibility.
No, it's a possibility. And I think that that would arouse some violent manifestations, I think. Because what other ways are there? You appeal to the United Nations, but the occupying country doesn't follow the regulations of the United Nations. So this is very difficult.
On the other hand, the White House has labelled the settlements issue unhelpful if Israel continues to build settlements. This is the other major obstacle, isn't it, to peace?
Unhelpful, yes, of course they're unhelpful because you're occupying the other people's land where they're supposed to live. And this is going on all the time. You know, while permission for Palestinians to build within the occupied territories is curtailed, then permission is given for the expansion of dwellings for Israelis. So there you see we're not being treated properly.
Is the possibility of a two-state solution still on track, do you think, with this continuous expansion of settlements? Is it possible anymore?
It seems to be becoming more and more impossible. Officially, it is there, and I think that the Holy See's policy is to support the two-state solution. But you do hear voices saying that this is no longer possible and maybe there should be one state, but one state where everyone is equal. And that is different. That, I think, is a difficult perspective for the Israelis, because probably the Arabs would become the dominant force.
The majority.
Majority of the population. Though, you know, any Israelis who want to come, any Jews who want to come and live in Israel can come. Whereas the Arabs cannot return to their own homes.
The refugee issue continues to be another of the major
stumbling
blocks, doesn't it?
Which, when you say, well, we must have negotiations, there's been this opposition to the French initiative for peace. The Prime Minister of Israel says, no, we don't need this. We don't need international congress to bring peace. We have to have direct negotiations. Well, come and negotiate. And said, well, okay, stop the settlements and we'll negotiate. No conditions. Well, saying no conditions, you're putting a condition.
So it's hard to see any kind of
progress. It is very hard to see any real solution to this question.
You mentioned the Holy See, of course, supporting a two-state solution. Is there anything else the Church, the Vatican, can do to try and influence politicians to push for peace, if you like, in the region? It's an area of great concern to the Pope himself, isn't it?
It is, certainly, yes. And I think the Holy See has been very consistent. Of course, the Holy See has negotiated with the Palestinian Authority, an agreement between the Holy See and the Palestinian Authority. Negotiations are going on with the Israeli authorities. They started, I think, in 1992, and they were supposed to finish in 2 years. And from 1994 until now, where are we, 2017, still going on, still meeting, cordial meetings. But there are certain questions that have not been decided. Can the Holy See do any more? I don't know, really. It encourages people, condemns violence, encourages people to stay in the country, but then you have to find work for them. One of the things, of course, that the Holy See does is to support Bethlehem University, which is providing education, Christian education, not only for Christians, but the majority of students are Muslims. In fact, a good university, which has kept going despite all the difficulties in the country. But the opportunities for using the learning that you have acquired, the skills that have been acquired, are limited.
And people continue to emigrate wherever possible, don't they?
Yes. There are some people, and I have met people who are very proud and say, all my children have remained here in this. They're qualified, but they have remained.
A beacon of hope, in a way, Bethlehem University, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and really well worth supporting, I think. It is a place where Christians and Muslims can meet together and work together.
What else gives you hope at the moment, in a face of a very bleak situation there in the Middle East, in the Holy Land?
Well, first of all, there are, you know, the statements from various Muslim leaders in the world about the importance of the presence of Christians within the Middle East, that they are part of Middle Eastern culture, therefore their place is there. There are also examples of Christians and Muslims working together and suffering together, and so working together. What has given me hope, and over the number of years that I've been in this work of promoting good relations between people of different religions, is the interest of certain young Muslims in learning about Christianity and taking the opportunity of bursaries that are given or study sessions that are made. Sometimes here in Rome this is done. There are Muslims from the Muslim College in Cambridge that come here, and they you know, it's not just sightseeing. They're really learning about Christianity, attending services and then having these, as it were, debriefed afterwards. What has happened? What did you see? What then? Can you explain this? And I think that is very useful. There are also groups from Germany now that are coming too. And in the Holy Land itself, in Jerusalem, in the Dormition Abbey, they have been organizing also together with Muslim institutes in Germany to come and take part in joint theological discussions. That for me is a sign of hope.
My thanks to Archbishop Michael Fitzgerald, former president of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue and former Vatican envoy to Egypt and the Arab League.